2 Corinthians chapter 10. But trying to determine and pray about the direction the Lord would have me go as far as finishing up this spiritual warfare series. And I want to revisit the passage that we looked at briefly in relation to the battle for the mind. I want for us to consider the theme then of pulling down strongholds. I want for us to understand what a stronghold is and how we can actually pull those down with the Lord's help. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 and following. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. Now, let me explain briefly as we move into the verses we're going to look at here this morning. There were false teachers that were going into the church at Corinth and saying, you know, the Apostle Paul isn't as great as he says he is and all those kinds of things. In absence, he sends all these strong letters, but in presence, he's weak. Now, what you think about the stronghold mentally that the church at Corinth was having, basically they were thinking, you know, we don't need the Apostle Paul. We also don't need his teaching anymore. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with you, that with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. Now, here's the verses I want for us to focus on here this morning. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, as you consider that word stronghold here in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, the phrase strongholds refers to a fortified city. And the example of that I think of is Joshua chapter 6. I want you to notice with me Joshua chapter 6. I want for us to see, or be reminded of how God had to help Israel in the pulling down of a stronghold. Joshua chapter 6, as we think about this fortified city or this stronghold, I believe our enemy Satan seeks to establish strongholds in our lives from which he can attack. As you think about that, he wants to establish a stronghold. And we'll look at some examples of strongholds that he wants to establish in our lives. Notice here it says in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. Notice they were prepared for a long siege. Now, I don't think they were expecting Israel to attack like they did. But of course, that was God's strategizing that he gave them. Notice it says in verse 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Notice here he says, I have given. What tense is that? You know, when God makes a promise, it's as if it's already done. He says, I have already given you the city. You've not conquered it yet, but I have already given you the city. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. Now, I've read that Jericho was about 6 acres in size. So, I mean, this is a decent walk, especially on the 7th day when they had to go around it 7 times. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up everyone straight before him. Now, as I've done some reading, they estimate that the walls of Jericho were about 30 feet high. These were massive walls. It was actually a double wall. The outer wall was 6 feet thick, and the inner wall was 12 feet, and there was 15 feet between the walls. And in many cases, they would fill that gap in with dirt or whatever. It was actually large enough they could build houses on the wall. From what I've read, you could ride a chariot double wide around the wall. This was a massive wall. Now, can you imagine what the people of Jericho thought? All right, they're living in fear because they've heard of the Red Sea. They've heard of even the crossing of the Jordan. You know, they've heard all the things that God has already done through Israel. So they're in fear. Even that Rahab says that later. As you think about that, or earlier I should say, but you think about that, the people of Jericho, the men of valor, these men of the military are ready for an attack. But instead of attacking, Israel marches around the walls. If I was the people of Jericho, I'd be scratching my head. It's like, well, that's odd. They didn't even get their weapons out or anything. Then the second day, they do the same. Can you imagine what they're thinking by the sixth day? Come on, are you going to attack or not? Well, then the seventh day, they go around once, twice, seven times. Then all of a sudden, the blast of the trumpets. Now, I want you to notice what that passage says. Now, many suggest that there was an earthquake, that there was earthquake activity about this time. Let me point out a difference there, though. An earthquake causes things what? To crumble. If there was an earthquake right here, you know, the walls wouldn't fall flat. Everything would crumble, right? You know, the shaking and all that causes things to crumble. How many of you ever experienced an earthquake? The only thing that at the time I could ever say that we experienced an earthquake is we were actually in Lawrenceville, Kentucky. And in the middle of the night, we were awakened as the ceiling tile were shaking. I thought, well, maybe they had some blasting or something that they do nearby, and so I never thought anything about it. But the next morning, the pastor asked us, did you feel our earthquake last night? It was actually from that earthquake that was centered in Illinois, and they felt the shocks down in Kentucky. That's the closest I ever want to come to experiencing an earthquake. You know, as long as the ceiling tile are shaking and that's the worst of it, then I can handle that. But I'm not sure about it. But you notice here it says the verse 5, the walls, the city, the wall fell down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. They didn't crumble, they fell flat. Notice verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Again, they're not climbing over rubble. They're walking straight forward into the city. They're walking across the wall. That's supernatural. That's not an earthquake. Literally, God caused the walls to fall out so that they could march straight into the city and conquer the city. But again, God is the one that pulled down the walls of this stronghold. Now, let me point out here why I believe that God did this. In regard to Israel. First of all, this unique strategy was to bring glory to God. Notice with me Psalm 44. Psalm 44. I believe that God wanted Israel to give glory to Him. He is the one that allowed us to conquer the city. The unique strategy was to bring glory to God. Psalm 44, verses 4 through 8. Thou art my King, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through Thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name shall we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever, Selah. God wanted to make sure that in this very first battle in the Promised Land, that he was the one that got all the glory. And that's exactly what God wants to do as He pulls down strongholds in our lives. Notice also Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Another reason why I believe that God gave them this strategy was to give Israel confidence regarding walled cities. Remember back in Numbers 13, Moses sends 12 spies into the land. Now let me remind you that this was not to determine if they could conquer the land, but to get a plan and a strategy as to how they were going to conquer the land. It was never a question whether or not they were going to have the promised land. But you remember the story, 10 come back with a negative message, only two have the positive message. By the way, you can't always believe the majority. There's a majority opinion in our land, in our culture today, that's not right. Notice here it says in Numbers 13, verses 23 through 28, and they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bear it between two upon a staff. Now, how many of you have ever seen a cluster of grapes that's so large that two men have to carry it? I've never seen a cluster of grapes like that. That's the bounty of this land. And they bear it between two upon a staff, and they brought it brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Here's the bounty. However, they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit thereof. Nevertheless," that's a problem word when you're believing a negative message. "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there," the giants. Some estimate 9 feet tall. Notice, here's the obstacles. Now, let me ask you, are you focused more on the power of God or on the obstacles, the pulling down strongholds? See, so often we get our focus on the stronghold that we miss what God is able to do. They minimize the potential and power of God. They focus on the obstacles instead of the blessings. Here's the fruit of the land, however, nevertheless. I know God is powerful, however, I live in defeat. So again, we need to understand that the strategy was given to Israel to give them confidence regarding walled cities. You know how easy it is to pull down a stronghold after you've seen a stronghold pulled down? When you have a victory in your life, it's easier to face the next challenge. And I believe that's what God wants to do in our lives as well. The strategy that was given to Israel is also designed to demoralize Israel's enemies. After they heard what happened in Jericho, they were all gathering together. "We've got to take care of this nation that's coming." You know, it says the fame spread because of what happened there at Jericho. The strategy was designed to demoralize Israel's enemies. You see, Satan will flee, as we will see. Satan will flee when he has been defeated in our lives. Now, with that in mind, notice here back in Joshua once again here this morning, Joshua chapter 7. After the victory at Jericho, I want you to notice here why Israel was not able to pull down a smaller stronghold. All right? Remember, Jericho was a pretty large city. It was a fortified city that they had to conquer as they crossed into the promised land. But then this very second battle, they ran. They ran from the enemy. And I want for us to notice here, there's two reasons in particular why they were defeated at Ai. Notice Joshua chapter 7 verse 1. "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing." Now, God gave very clear instructions in Joshua chapter 6. And even as we understand here, Achan coveted after those things, and he hid those things in his tent, as we see in the end of chapter 6. Later on, as he's revealed here. And it says, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Now, let me point out here, one trespass can bring the anger of God against the whole group. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Little bit of leaven, Paul says, leaven's the whole lump. As we understand that concept, one trespass can affect the testimony of an entire church. You know, that's why you don't tolerate known sin in a membership, because, well, as you think about it, if a pastor, for example, continues to live in sin, we'll talk about this here in a moment, but, "Thou shalt not touch God's anointed." By the way, that refers to Israel, not preachers. A pastor is not above accountability to a local church. If he's living in sin, then I believe that sin needs to be dealt with, according to 1 Timothy chapter 5. So again, a pastor, there's a lot of pastors who have said, "Thou shalt not touch God's anointed." In other words, I'm above accountability. That's not scriptural. But you notice here it says, verse 2, it says, "And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai." Now, I want you to notice the first thing. Well, obviously the sin, But notice here it says here in verse 3 then, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up. We don't need the entire military for this one. This is a small town compared to Jericho. You know, Jericho, that was nothing. We can handle this. Notice the self-confidence. But let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. I want you to consider also there was presumption here. There was no prayer for guidance from God. They decided this. They didn't ask God, do we all need to go up? So they went up thither of the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote them, about 36 men. For they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan? Now, I want you to notice here, he's implying that God failed them. Isn't that exactly what we do when we're struggling with a stronghold? God, I don't understand why you're not delivering me from this stronghold. Notice, deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. He's beginning to doubt here because of this lack of victory. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? God's name ultimately is the concern there. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Notice again, because of one man's sin, everyone suffered. What does God say to Joshua? Get up off your face. There's something you need to deal with. By the way, there's a time when prayer is wrong. Well, that sounds bad, doesn't it? Prayer is wrong. You see, we can't pray about something that violates God's will. But yet, how many times do we do that? God says to Joshua, get up off your face. There's something you need to deal with. But notice the two primary reasons why they lost to a smaller stronghold, Ai. Self-confidence. We don't need everybody. We can handle this ourselves. In fact, they're ultimately even saying, we don't even need the Lord in this. But also the sin. Those are the reasons why we lose battles in strongholds. Chapter 8, Joshua chapter 8, verse 1. After they learned the lesson, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. You notice here, as you think about the victory then that they had in Ai, they dealt with the sin of Achan, and they also dealt with their self-confidence. So they were able to conquer the city. So as we understand the strongholds that we have in our lives, notice with me John chapter 8 as we close. Very familiar verses, but I want you to notice here again. John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. The strongholds won't come down of our own strength. We'll continue to have a stronghold, we'll continue to have the spiritual struggles, the battles in our lives. As we close, notice here it says, John 8, verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if, again, a conditional word, if you do this, then this is what will happen, is what that's saying. If ye continue in what? My word. If you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, in truth, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? All right, that sounds like freedom from a bondage, or from a stronghold, right? They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? I've said this before, but they were blinded to the bondage they were in. They're in bondage to Rome at this point. They weren't free. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. I can go drink whenever I want to. What they don't realize is they're already in bondage. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The son uses the word to give us liberty from the strongholds of our lives. The very first step, though, is to acknowledge the stronghold. So, what strongholds do you have that you need to submit to God so He will help you pull it down? Father, I want to thank You for these reminders. And Lord, I thank You that the strongholds can be pulled down. We even see the example of Jericho, a fortified city. The walls fell down flat. Lord, You're able to push down the walls of the strongholds of our lives. Lord, even as You lead, I just pray that You'd help us to take a look at some of these strongholds that need to come down, need to be pulled down in our lives. Help us to acknowledge them, Lord, so that we can have victory over them. In Jesus' name, amen.